Ryzen. Dad was supposed to be there cheering in the front row as her team seized gold. She cringed, recalling all that punishing training she'd endured down in Florida. Header after header until her forehead swelled, ice numbing her joints while burning her skin, sweat stinging her eyes, hiding her lack of appetite from a team of women, from eagle-eyed coaches and physicians. All for nothing. Rub some dirt on it. Though her situation seemed grim, there was an upside. She'd thought she was going to die earlier. Now she was completely healed. In fact, aside from being sleepy, she felt great physically. She'd been so wretchedly lonely before. Now a Scottish god of a man couldn't seem to get close enough to her. He'd saved her life, had fought for her against monsters.
"I'm going to fetch you a t-shirt. Do not get yourself killed while I'm away, mortal."
She almost smiled. Was he being serious or teasing her? She sensed a playfulness inside him. She supposed she'd find out soon enough. 2 seconds later, he said,
"How'd we do while I was gone?"
"A few close calls."
He chuckled.
"I'm getting the feeling that you might be a smart arse, but I like it."
The water sluiced over her. His voice poured over her. How could his mere voice call to mind those wicked dreams so readily? What if she stepped out and he kissed her with his gorgeous lips? "Don't think about the faceless man. Don't think..." Too late. Her lust surged. She placed her palms against the wall, her fingers curling. Maybe he was the faceless male who would do delicious things to her.
Chloe, is everything all right?"
he asked, his voice rumbling.
"Of course! Oh, God, he might be able to smell her."
She dumped half a bottle of shampoo over her head, letting it coat her all the way down. When Will scented her arousal, his body shot tight with tension, his shaft readying for her. She must be feeling better.
And lords, she must be a lusty one.
He inwardly groaned.
But I canna do anything about it.
Not without his beast rising. The harder he got, the more it would claw him inside, the two eternally linked. He scrubbed his palm over his face. By the time he was ready to rut, it'd be fully at the fore. His beast was already stirring, roused by her scent. If Will lost control for a second, he could kill her. Inhale. Exhale.
Rein it in, Will.
Once he'd garnered a measure of control again, the peculiarity of this situation hit him. He was licking his chops over the daughter of a man he despised, one he longed to destroy. But without Webb, there would be no Chloe. Will would never have received his mate. Chloe had asked him earlier if he would hurt Webb. His eyes narrowed. If Will could take her, he would get revenge. Nothing could destroy Webb like the knowledge that his beloved daughter had been compromised by a detritus. Will hated to think in this vein, but there it was. Turning off the water, Chloe reached through the steam for the towel. He lunged forward to hand it to her.
"McCreeve!"
She'd already turned her back, yanking the towel to her body, quickly wrapping it around herself.
"Just being of assistance."
"And copping a look at my woman,"
he thought. He'd only caught the merest glimpse of her arse. Pert. Generous. The kind of arse that would still be moving for a breathtaking split second after she'd stilled. Or after it had been spanked. He nearly groaned at the thought.
Gods, soccer had done her right.
He'd seen just enough to render him mind-blown and hard as rock, which meant his beast was now prowling within him. No, Will hadn't been able to refashion himself after Ruel. He gazed at his mate. But then, I've never had the real reason to before now.
Come, Chloe. Are you always so shy?
She was still standing in the shower stall.
No, I'm not. I'm the chick who walks around naked in the locker room.
A wolven chuff escaped his lips as he imagined that. If he hadn't been sprung before... In a strangled voice, he said,
Next, you'll tell me you like to pillow fight in the nude.
As if he hadn't spoken, she continued, However, just because I'm not shy, that doesn't mean I'm going to streak in front of you.
Not yet.
His lips curled.
Are you going to stay in there all night?
Depends on what your plans are.
Do you not want a clean t-shirt?
He dangled it enticingly. Lips thinned, wary as prey, she stepped out in her towel. Aye, her color had returned. Her skin was tanned, with sexy little strap lines over her shoulders. He wanted to taste her skin, just one fleeting taste of her. And then I'll be good. A drop trickled down her neck. He followed it with his eyes. She noticed, shivering in reaction. So sensitive, his mate. Before he could stop himself, he'd swooped in and pressed his open lips to the drop, licking it up. At her ear, he said,
You do not need a towel. Not when you have me around. I'll tend to every inch of you.
When he drew back, she was panting shallow breaths, her pupils dilated. The honeyed scent of her arousal filled his senses. She was about to go off, and he couldn't do a damned thing about it without risking disaster. Then she seemed to wake up. Her vivid eyes flashed with embarrassment. The smooth skin of her cheeks blushed red. She was so fucking adorable, it hurt him. He tilted his head at her. Might his Chloe be a virgin? A delicate, mortal virgin? He backed up a step.
You tempt me, sweet. Gods, you tempt me. But you've been injured. You need to be abed.
And if I hadn't been injured?
Then we would be abed right now,
he lied, handing her the shirt. When she raised her brows, he turned around for her to change. But even once she'd dressed and he'd led her to his bed, she still looked a bit dazed. As he pulled down the covers and clean sheets,
Bless you, brother,
she asked, How are you handling this, McCreeve?
What do you mean?
She crawled under the covers, flashing toned thighs.
Mercy.
This must be a shock to you, too. You were just minding your own business, and all of a sudden, wham, you've got a mate.
She was worried about how he was taking this?
You're what we consider other, and I think you might be the first other female who's ever asked how a male like A was taking all this.
He recalled his cousins who had non-like A mates. Each of those females had panicked at the mere idea. Gareth's had even shot him.
I'm handling this just fine, he said,
surprised to find that was the truth.
Because you're my lifeline, he thought.
He could see it so clearly now. She was his lucky penny, found right when he'd needed her most. Everything was falling into place. His instinct had returned. There was hope. But if Chloe was his cure, Nyx was the cause. At the auction, he'd recognized what the Valkyrie had done for him. Now he realized what she'd done for Chloe. If not for Nyx, centaurs would be raping Chloe right now. and they would use their own healers on her so they could do it again and again. At the thought, bile rose in his throat. Once they'd captured Webb, they might have allowed her to die. A gust of breath left him.
Nix, ye beautiful bitch.
He wanted to grab that Valkyrie and kiss her, then ask her why she couldn't have just texted him to be there. No matter. He'd have gone through that torture 1,000 times over to spare Chloe a fate like that.
McCreeve, I appreciate all you've done for me. You saved my life.
And you saved mine,
he thought. He couldn't wait to tear up his plane ticket. As he gazed down at her lovely face, he felt shamed to have bought it.
But if I stay here, I could be bringing these Praevis creatures down on your head. What about the other people who live here?
Worried for them? He couldn't believe he'd feared this girl would be like her father. She deserved better than Will, someone not so jaded. Someone who could make love to her. Someone mortal.
Fit for no one.
He had the passing thought that he should let her go. Yet who could protect her more fiercely than Will? Not a damn soul.
Shh, Chloe. McClan is ready for anything. You're safe here. Now, my wee mortal needs sleep to finish healing.
He tucked her in, about to howl from the rightness of seeing her in his bed.
Hell no. I'll not give her up.
Finally, a relationship he could be proud of.
Sleep, lass. Heal. We'll work all this out tomorrow.
He leaned in to gently press his lips to hers, and she let him, even sighing. His first kiss in centuries. In Gaelic, he told her,
"Our last first kiss."
Her lids slid shut, and her breaths deepened. Just before she slipped into sleep, she murmured,
"I could get used to you."
XV. When Chloe woke, she found McCreeve seated in a chair beside the bed, elbows on his knees, staring at her.
"Been waiting for you to wake. You always sleep this much."
He flashed her that grin. He looked rested and was clean-shaven, dressed in another pair of jeans, a black long-sleeved T-shirt that hugged his chest muscles, and expensive-looking hiking boots. In other words, he was even more gorgeous than he'd been last night. She sat up, ran her fingers through her hair, discovered a tangled mess.
"How long was I out?"
With a start, she noticed how hard her nipples were beneath the white T-shirt and raised the sheet to conceal them. She'd been engulfed by those wicked dreams. Only now the man had a face. McReeves. In those scenes, she'd explored what might have happened if she'd let him take off that towel and bare her body. If she'd let him lick the water from her skin.
"Think of something else or he'll know."
"You were out all morning, still as death."
"And you've just been sitting there watching me? That's not creepy at all."
"What else would I do?" he asked in genuine puzzlement. "Of course, you had me pacing whenever your dreams changed."
He stood and did so now.
"It was everything I could do not to fall upon you in that bed."
She swallowed.
"How did you know what I was dreaming?"
"Your heart rate and breaths."
She raised her chin.
"Could have been a nightmare."
He stopped to face her, his lids gone heavy.
"And your scent."
Her cheeks burned with embarrassment.
"I need to get dressed. Can I borrow some more clothes?"
"We canvassed the clan for some. I put everything in that wardrobe."
He pointed to an immense oak piece that she didn't remember seeing last night.
"Just until I can buy you new,
Naturally.
Buy her new? McCreeve, I appreciate your hospitality, but I can't stay here any longer.
He gazed at her with a half-grin, as if she were jesting.
I'm dead serious. What if my dad shows up here? You'd kill him. I'm not going to sit here and act as bait.
Is that your only objection?
I have things I need to do, she said. A life of my own. And I don't want to endanger anyone else.
You should get dressed, so I can show you something.
What?
The obstacles to you leaving.
At the side of the bed, she hesitated. He seemed to be waiting keenly for a view of her legs, eyes locked on that edge of the comforter.
Privacy?
He snapped his head up.
You want that?
At her exasperated look, he sighed.
Aye then, privacy from me.
He crossed to her and pressed a kiss to her head, inhaling the scent of her hair.
You're adorable, you ken that? Meet me in the kitchen for breakfast.
Once he was gone, the room seemed bigger, and more boring, dimmer. If she wasn't careful, she could grow smitten with him, which was a bad idea on so many levels. First, he and her father would kill each other on sight. Second, he was a Lorian. And third, she didn't know what she was. She scuffed to the wardrobe, found expensive garments, many of them clearly never worn. There were several pairs of shoes and some toiletries as well. Lacy underwear with the tags still on filled a silk-lined drawer, a far cry from her sports bras and Under Armour panties. Wait, he had been the one to fill the wardrobe? The thought of him handling panties he intended for her made Chloe's face flush. With embarrassment? Or that weird awakening? After showering again and brushing her teeth, she dragged on a pair of jeans that fitted a bit too tightly over her ass and a peasant blouse that showed more cleavage than she was accustomed to. Slip-on sandals rounded out the ensemble. In front of the mirror, she ran her fingers through her wet hair, the closest she ever came to styling it, and appraised her appearance. The outfit looked classy, but much more feminine than her usual apparel. For most of the year, she wore cleats, soccer shorts, and workout tees. An outfit like this seemed to demand makeup, which she couldn't be bothered with. In concession, she pinched her cheeks, testing a smile. Though she deemed herself cute, just as McCreeve had called her last night, he was in the league of leggy supermodels who would live forever with him. Yet this male couldn't seem to take his eyes off Chloe, a.k.a. Baby T-Rex, a runtling soccer player with no feminine wiles. She knew what his tie to her was. He was compelled by his instinct to want her. Was McCreeve's marked interest in her fueling Chloe's own infatuation? When she descended the stairs and entered the kitchen, his face lit up as if she were a beauty queen modeling an evening gown.
What do you like to eat?
Before her recent decline in appetite, she'd been a big eater. She opened her mouth to list all her favorite training foods, only to remember there might never be training again. If she didn't make it to Madrid in time, if her immortality was triggered... McCreeve had pronounced her human the night before. The question was how to stay that way. Was it possible to find her dad and learn what her trigger was before the games?
I'll just take a cup of coffee, she muttered, though she rarely drank caffeinated drinks.
Her voice had wavered, so she jutted her chin.
Hey, lass. Come here. What troubles you?
When he reached for her and she realized how very badly she wanted to be enfolded in those arms, she made herself back up a step. At that moment, two younger guys entered the kitchen.
This is Ronan and Bennett, McCreeve said. They live here. Lads, this is Chloe.
Ben was even taller than McCreeve, duck under the doorway tall. He was also handsome, with thick black hair that hung over one eye. His face heated as he gave her a wave, and she realized he was really shy. The younger one, a cute, rangy blonde, had no such problem.
"So, what are we having for breakfast, sweetling?"
She hated it when people assumed she could cook just because she had a vagina.
"Whatever your happy ass makes. For yourself?"
Ben cracked a grin. Ronan cast her a measuring glance. McCreeve laughed.
"Lass, you're going to do just fine here."
"What did I miss?"
asked another male from the doorway.
Chloe blinked.
And again.
"You didn't tell me you had an identical twin."
"An excruciatingly handsome one."
"I'm Monroe, and I'm pleased to have you here, Chloe."
He seemed like he was about to say more, only to stop himself.
"Thank you, Monroe."
She realized she was still staring and blushed.
"Wow, you really do look alike."
When he stood next to McCreeve, she could tell they weren't quite identical. McCreeve looked a little more worn, his hair longer. She also noticed that neither of them had laugh lines.
Ronan said, "Female Lorians called him hot and hotter. I dinna see it."
"I'll bet they do."
A flare of jealousy took her by surprise. For most of her life, she hadn't been interested in men, much less jealous over them. McCreeve quipped something in Gaelic, making his brother grin, then handed her a mug.
"Come on. I've much to show you."
When he squired her through a set of French doors, the afternoon sun illuminated his face. His eyes were the color of a gold medal struck by sunlight. She told herself it was the zing of caffeine that caused her head to rush, not the sight of his brilliant gaze. He was jaw-droppingly fine, and apparently he got told that all the time. Having had fanboys, she'd sworn never to be a fangirl. She wouldn't start now. She dragged her gaze away, making a study of the outside of his home. The lodge was constructed of brick with exposed wood beams. The arched roof was covered in slate tiles.
"It's beautiful."
After growing up in a house that looked exactly like every other McMansion in the neighborhood, she'd always wanted to live in a home with character, something unique. When McCreeve smiled, her skin grew flushed. She didn't like the effect he had on her or how quickly all this was moving. He kept her off balance, like she was running with a cleat on one foot and a climbing boot on the other. She groped for something to talk about.
"So, if you and Monroe are twins, how does the whole alpha thing work?"
"The wolf that created our line was an alpha, so most Lyca males have alpha tendencies, just waiting to come out. In my and Monroe's case, his beast is cut from the same soul as mine, so we're definitely both alphas. Let's just put it this way. We brawl. A lot."
He steered her onto another path.
"Where are we headed?"
"The main house of the compound."
She rolled her eyes. "Of course, I'm at a compound. Great. If I see any 14-year-olds, should I congratulate them on their nuptials?"
"Not that kind of compound. You'll enjoy it here. It's like a big team. And this property is like a locker room."
"You expect me to sign on?"
"Our facilities are top-notch, and we're all starters."
"I need to get back to the team I've already joined. I have a life of my own."
And questions that had to be answered, not just about her father. Now that she'd confirmed immortals existed, she kept wondering what species her mom could have been and what her ultimate fate was. Dad had told Chloe that Mom had no relations. What if that statement was as false as the terminal cancer lie?
"What do you have to get back to?"
McGreeve asked.
"Your season's over with the team, is it not? Your father is no longer there. Is this about the Olympics? They're not out of reach, Chloe. I will move heaven and earth to get you there."
Part of her wanted so badly to confide in him about her symptoms. Again, that sense of self-preservation held her tongue. "I don't want to talk about it."
"Ach, you should know that a Lyke's curiosity is a powerful thing."
He said this like it was an understatement. Suddenly his gaze narrowed.
"Do you have a lover back there, then?"
His tone was nonchalant, but his eyes were blazing blue.
"Some bloke in Seattle?"
"I'm 100% committed to sports." In the past, she'd tried to convince herself that she hadn't dated because of training demands, but other players had managed to balance a love life and a career. She'd heard the locker room talk. "I haven't had time for dating." Or for the dread that inevitably accompanied it. Her answer appeared to delight him. She could perceive him relaxing. In fact, she was very in tune with him, her senses seemingly heightened by him. She was abundantly aware of him at every second. Merely walking beside him, she could feel the heat radiating from his skin. What if she did fall for a werewolf like McGreeve? Dad would hate her. He might already. No, she refused to believe that.
"Here's the main house,"
McGreeve said, gesturing toward what looked like a millionaire's hunting lodge decorated by a manly man.
"We call it the Den. It's well-loved, lots of claw marks. And the Valkyrie threw a car on the roof not too long ago."
"They're that strong? So cool. Maybe Fiery was a Valkyrie."
"Aye, but that's a drop in the bucket compared to a Lyke's strength."
He opened a heavy wooden door for her, taking her hand to lead her inside. His was hot and rough against her own, yet the contact was electric. Chloe shivered and stared in puzzlement at the spot where their skin touched. He too seemed affected, his brows drawing together. This was some kind of connection, the kind she'd read about in books, the kind she'd decided was just a stupid myth. Apparently all myths were real. With his brogue thicker than she'd ever heard it, he said,
"Ah, Chloe, lass, I just need to..."
He leaned in, looking for all the world like he was about to kiss her. She found herself captivated by the prospect. Awakening. She'd had far too few kisses in her life. But then she heard the murmur of conversation from a nearby room. Would someone come upon her and McGreeve?
You said something about obstacles?
Her voice was as breathy as a porn star's. Looking suddenly troubled, he straightened.
"Aye, then. This way to our security area."
They headed into a dimmed room. There was a giant computer screen, like a movie backdrop, with dozens of camera feeds stacked and labeled Wall 1, Wall 2, Wall 3, all the way to Wall 50. One Lyke manned the desk.
"Here's Madoc, our master of the watch. Madoc, this is my mate, Chloe."
The colossal man stood, towering over her, as tall as McGreeve with bulkier muscles. He had a straight scar that ran through his eyebrow and down his face, making him look dangerous. He seemed to be simmering with aggression, but his expression was neutral.
"Pretty big wall you've got here," she said.
"Aye, it surrounds hundreds of acres."
With a polite nod, Madoc said,
"I'll leave you to it, McGreeve."
Once he'd exited the room, she got a better look at the feeds and her jaw slackened. Nightmare creatures teemed outside the fence, hundreds of them, with more arriving in droves.
"All here for me?"
16. Chloe hadn't taken her eyes off the screens. Will hadn't taken his eyes off her. Ah, she was a bonny thing. Now that her hair was drying, it curled into fetching disarray, glossy little spikes framing her pixie features. Her changeable eyes gleamed with intelligence. Bonny and brave. Though her heart beat with fear, you couldn't tell by her stoic demeanor. "This is what you saved me from?" she asked, with hardly a tremor in her voice. "What I would have seen last night? I'm glad of the bag now. Can those things breach the wall?"
"Not many have the stones to invade a Lyke stronghold when we're all a hair trigger away from turning. We protect our own, lass. Understand me. I will slaughter anyone who gets near you."
"You must have a secret way out." Why was she so sodding eager to go? Females usually tripped all over themselves to get near him. Why was this one not bonding to him?
"You canna leave. Chloe, as I said, these creatures will not kill you at first. You would not be so fortunate as that."
She bit her bottom lip. "I can hide..." She trailed off when he shook his head.
"You lost a lot of blood at the crossroads last night. They can use it to track you. I vow to the Lord that they would find you within minutes, and that they would torture and abuse you."
By the way she gazed at his eyes, he knew they'd flickered blue.
"I canna let you be hurt."
"How long will this siege last?"
"Likely until your father is found."
"Why can't they track him?"
"No blood. And he's probably camouflaging his location with mystical means anyway. He uses aspects of the lore when it suits him."
For decades, Will's former prison had been concealed through magic. The other prisons still were. The Order's torques were mystically reinforced and empowered. Webb had even used a soothsayer's help, though Nyx had clearly been furthering her own ends. "Maybe I can get some mystical means."
"So desperate to leave?"
His face tightened.
"You could purchase a concealment talisman from the witches for hundreds of thousands of dollars. Oh, wait, they're the ones who kidnapped and sold you."
Her lips thinned. "If my dad showed up here, what would happen to him? McCreeve, I can't let him be hurt. My mom died when I was a baby, and he was all I had. He's been a great dad, kind and supportive. My biggest complaint is that he always travels way too much."
"And guess what he's been doing on those trips," he said,
hating the stricken look on her face, hating that he'd caused it. In a softer tone, she asked, "What did my father do to you?" Will avoided her eyes.
"I cannot speak of it. Not yet."
He could tell she wanted to press, but to her credit, she didn't. "You'll tell me when you're ready, I guess."
"In any case, you're safest here."
She started to pace. "So here I'll be staying?"
"Could you sound more put out? It's not so bad here. I am not so bad. Why are you so averse to me? I know you're attracted to me."
Mayhap that was the way to get her to bond, by using her lust against her. Lyke were notoriously brutal warriors, but they could also be sly tricksters, able to coax and maneuver their prey as expertly as they could seize it. She straightened. "You can't know that."
"I scented you in the shower last night, and then there's the matter of your dreams. Mayhap they included me?"
Her blush said bingo. Satisfaction filled him. She pursed her lips. "Attraction is involuntary, but if I had any control over it, I wouldn't be attracted to you."
"Why no?"
he asked, his mood gone surly just like that. "I don't have time. I need to find my dad, McCreeve. We left things unsaid between us.
Not to mention that you want to murder him. Plus, if you must know, I'm due at Olympic training camp in Europe in less than 2 weeks.
That soon. Still, he was determined to get her there. He'd figure it out later. For now, he needed some kind of bond with her to soothe this feral restlessness he felt. While he'd been running headlong toward her, she'd been looking for the exit.
I will not speak of any of this today.
Why?
Today is my day to convince you to accept me as yours. You will give it to me.
When he moved in even closer, she backed up until her arse met the desk. Before she could say a word, he'd lifted her on top of it, easing his hips between her knees. He caught a peek down her blouse, was thrilled to spy the black bra he'd put in the wardrobe last night, the one he'd imagined molded over her plump breasts. She moistened her lips, her breaths shallowing, her body already trembling with lust. The way to bind her to him was obviously through sex. Sex was impossible.
Gods, I wish I was right.
But then, he didn't have to take them all the way, just her. All he had to do was give Chloe a mind-scrambling orgasm while keeping his beast in check. Two problems. That bastard might slip the leash. And Will had never set out to pleasure a female. For all these centuries, his beast hadn't strayed from perfunctory sex in one animalistic position. It got a release, the nymph made her conquest, all was well. Will hadn't heard any complaints. Of course, he hadn't exactly stuck around afterward. Kissing, oral sex, foreplay, these things were foreign to him.
I'll figure it the hell out.
When he imagined delving his tongue between Chloe's thighs, he shot hard as steel, and his beast stirred. He gritted his teeth, struggling to keep it caged. Chloe tilted her head.
And why would I give you this day?
We're going to make a wager, you and I. At the end of today, if you still want to leave me, I'll try to get you a concealment talisman from the witches.
Truly?
Aye.
He was such a twatting liar, but his ploy was working. She'd begun to relax, because she thought she was heading out tomorrow on her doomed quest to find her father. At least she was loyal. Along with touch, sex, and food, Lyke revered loyalty.
If you give me a sporting chance to win you over, and I fail, then I'll help you leave.
Her gaze was on his lips when she murmured,
What would one day hurt?
Then she blinked up at him as if her own words had shocked her.
Very well.
This close, he could see her long lashes were tipped with the tiniest fringe of blonde.
We start now.
Do one of those bows to the lure first.
He froze. How to word this?
If you truly give yourself up to this day, enjoying everything I have to give you, orgasms, and still want to leave, I will help you. For a total of 2 minutes before tossing you over my shoulder and dragging you back, he thought.
Having played soccer all her life, Chloe could recognize when another player was aiming to score. McGreeve planned on luring her to stay with sex. And it might work.
No, no, no.
Yes, 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 she'd promised herself. And who better to lose her virginity with than a male like this? She could only imagine how experienced an immortal would be. She'd keep her heart closed off, sate some of these pressing urges, then be on her way tomorrow.
Okay. You have a deal.
Good.
He backed up, allowing her to hop off the desk.
I've something else to show you. a favourite spot on the entire property.
Well, his mood had certainly improved. His grin was about the sexiest thing she'd ever seen. At the front entrance, when he opened the door for her, she said, "Why are your nails black?" She'd noticed last night.
"They're claws."
When he briefly flared them, she swallowed. "Any other anatomical differences between you and a standard-issue human?" He bit his full bottom lip.
"Aye, there's a major one. It's definitely something you've never seen before."
"Oh, God, what?"
"Better if I just show you."
With a grave look, he started on the top button of his jeans. Right when she was about to scream, faint, smile with delight, she realized he was janking her. "McCreeve!" She swatted his hip, and he chuckled. Now he was going to have a sense of humor on top of everything else?
"No other anatomical differences. Though you might term what you'll find in my genes superhuman."
She knew he had to be kidding, but now he'd gotten her thinking about it. They started down a new path.
"As per the terms of our deal," he continued, "you're to give yourself up to this for a day, which means you should act like my mate."
"What do mates do?"
"Hold my hand."
He took hers in his.
"Look up at me adoringly."
So not a problem. Though they'd barely passed anyone earlier, now more people were out. He'd initially tried to avoid them, but then McCreeve seemed to get caught up, introducing her as his mate with his shoulders back and his chin lifted. His cockiness was breathtaking. Everyone she met was kind to her, seeming just like regular folks. Well, except for the fact that they were uniformly good-looking. The women all looked the same age and possessed an earthy type of sensuality. The males? She'd yet to see one that her team wouldn't catcall from their bus. They must be braver than normal as well. If any of them were freaked out by an immortal army gathering outside their gate, they didn't show it. After a while, Chloe got used to McCreeve calling her his. She might even have liked it. What girl could resist the look of utter pride in his eyes? She realized she was feeling excitement and optimism for the first time since this nightmare had begun. Her loneliness had ebbed until it had all but disappeared. She was in no immediate danger, she was uninjured, and her weeks-long dejection over her transition was lifting. At least there were some high points to the lore. Sexy Highlander high points. When he squeezed her hand unexpectedly, she found herself grinning up at him. And he was already grinning down at her, like they were conspirators who'd pulled off some coup. After they met yet another couple who gushed about how happy they were that she'd arrived, Chloe asked, "Why are they so friendly to me? You'd think they'd hate me like all the others out there." He began leading her toward a forest of cypresses, oaks, and pines.
"You're now a part of this pack. This is your clan too, Chloe. And anyone here would protect you with his or her life."
"My clan? So I'm already part of the team?"
"Oh, aye. We're always recruiting playmakers."
Though clouds were rolling in, he didn't head back toward the lodge, just continued into the woods.
"So, how did you get started playing soccer?"
"I saw an Olympic match when I was 5. After that, the game was all I could think about. When I was in college, I majored in soccer first." Yes, she'd earned her degree, but only by the skin of her teeth. "Do you have a career?" Her eyes widened. "I didn't even think to ask if you would miss work because of all this." That clearly amused him.
"No 9-to-5 for me, lass. I'm head of the Nova Scotia branch of the clan, and I serve my king however he needs me. But mainly, I'm a soldier. There have been no wars in some time. So I guess you could say I've been waiting for a new season to start.
Have you been in a lot of wars?
Oh, aye. I used to search them out, especially against vampires. They're our natural enemies. But I will no longer seek out conflict.
No?
I've got a mate now. That changes everything.
She stopped. You seem very confident about winning me over today. What if I resist those charms of yours? He curled his finger under her chin.
If you're feeling a fraction of what I'm feeling, then your pretty arse is mine.
His eyes narrowed with intent, with possessiveness. She swallowed. Still no dread? Just anticipation. For the first time, she allowed herself to entertain a startling thought. What if she and McGreeve were fated? What if she dreaded being with another because she'd been waiting for this Lyke to come into her life? Taking her hand back in his, he started deeper into the woods. When they reached a river, he said,
"Almost there. It's just past the opposite bank."
She gazed around for a bridge. He pulled her into his arms and leapt over the water. In midair, she screeched, "What are you doing?" When he landed, as easily as if he'd hopped from one step to the next, instead of 20 feet across the water, he kept his arm under her ass, their faces close.
"Ah, even your freckles are sexy."
Her heart skipped a beat. After long moments, he released her.
"We're here."
She turned away from him to get her bearings, and found an idyllic scene. In a clearing, a smaller rivulet wound through swaying grasses. Atop a slight rise to her left, a majestic tree rained white blossoms over a field of clover. The sky above was opaque. A warm drizzle had just begun to fall.
"We call this place the Glade. Decades ago, when the Lyke first settled here, that tree was planted from seed. It's a Sierra cherry tree from a different realm. They live for thousands of years."
"There are truly other realms?" He nodded.
"Most of the time, they're just cubbyholes in our landscape. You reach them through portals."
How much she could learn from him. Too bad she had to leave him. "It's beautiful, McGreeve. Thanks for bringing me here." He frowned.
"You never need to say thanks to me again."
"Why not?"
"Because it pleases me to do nice things for you. Makes me feel good."
As he cupped her elbow and started for cover, she thought she heard him mutter,
"For once."
Beneath the boughs of the cherry tree, she asked, "So, other than holding your hand and looking adoringly at you, what else does matehood entail? Any weird mating rituals?" she wondered. He brushed his knuckles over her cheek.
"It means that I will protect you and provide for you. I'll give you anything you've ever wanted. I do not have a career, but I've money to spoil you. I crave to."
His words were brimming with his typical confidence, yet she sensed an underlying nervousness. He drew in even closer, again looking like he was going to kiss her. The mere idea sent her awakening into overdrive. Her face flushed, her nipples hardening. She stared at his lips, imagining how they would feel on hers, how they'd taste. Up close, she could see the bottom one had the faintest crease in the middle. She wanted to lick it. "You've pointed out a lot of pros," she said absently. "So what's the downside?"
17.
Downside?
"I cannot bed you," he thought, "even though you dearly need me to."
When Chloe had gone soft with desire in the security room, it had taken every ounce of Will's self-control not to tup her on the desk. Even now, the delectable scent of her arousal filled his senses.
"I've got to control myself with ye. If my beast rose, I could hurt you."
What would be a teeth-clattering rush for a Lorien female would be bone-crushing for Chloe.
"You're very mortal."
What would make it rise?
"If you were in danger, or if I bidded you. That's why I cannot take you today, even though I think you would receive me."
Her cheeks bloomed with color, and her gaze darted away. Bingo. He nearly groaned with loss.
"Why can I not be right?"
Earlier, when Chloe had said she'd been completely committed to sports, he'd grown more convinced that she was innocent. He had wanted to howl with satisfaction that he would be the one to introduce her to lovemaking. Then he'd reminded himself,
"You do not make love. Do not even know how to."
Now, as then, misgivings swamped him. His plan to give her release while remaining detached and in control seemed impossible.
"I don't understand," she said.
"If I get too excited, it surfaces. It takes me over completely."
"What's that like?"
"A crutch."
"I'm still there, yet everything feels altered. It's kind of like a drug. Though I'd experience pleasure, and I'd remember anything that occurred between us, I would have zero control over its actions."
"Actions?"
"It'd want to take you hard, Chloe."
Her breath hitched, but she didn't glance away. In fact, he saw interest in her vivid gaze. That look heated his blood, hardening his cock until it throbbed, waking the beast he warned of. Will leaned down to say at her ear,
"It'd want you on your hands and knees as it fucked you from behind."
She bit her lip, almost quelling a soft whimper. The sound made his shaft pulse. She was getting aroused by his talk.
"Ah, lass, you're needful, are you not?"
The wind began to comb the tree, loosing petals like snowfall. She didn't seem to notice them.
"Yes, needful."
He laid his hand on her cheek. It shook as he cupped her face.
"You do not know how much I want to pleasure you."
This was his mate, and from the scent of her, he'd find her nice and wet. But he was too screwed up to see to her? His gaze narrowed with realization. His beast should be nigh risen now. It roared inside him. It seethed. It remained caged. His instinct spoke, pinging his mind, jolting his body.
"Your female aches. Tend to her."
The instinct was infallible, and it was telling him to touch Chloe.
"Do you ache?"
She gazed up at him, nodding helplessly.
"What color are my eyes? Are they blue?"
She shook her head.
"Flickering a little."
He knew he couldn't claim her, but mayhap it was possible to tend to her.
"If I said I'd ease your ache, would you let me? Just that, and nothing more."
He captured her hand, raising her wrist to his lips. A grazing kiss across her rapid pulse point made her gasp. Then he used her arm to draw her closer, so he could run his lips up her neck. She sighed.
"Yes."
This was probably a bad idea, but at that moment, Chloe couldn't recall a single reason why. If he stopped this, she was fairly certain she'd slide-tackle him. He didn't stop. His lips were hot on her, scorching a line up her neck. Excitement drummed through her, her dread completely absent, her senses overloaded. She smelled the rain, the blossoms. his heady scent. How could he possibly smell so good? When his clever tongue flicked rain from her damp skin, she wondered, why fight this? She was as eager as she'd been during her first pro soccer game. She hadn't let anything stand in her way that day, just surrendered completely to the thrill, the adrenaline, the driving need to experience everything. She would do the same with this.
Don't be a coward. See where this path leads you.
So far, this path was making her question how she'd been living without McCreeve her entire life. Not living, simply existing from one game to the next. He looped an arm around her, dragging her body tight against his, then gently took her earlobe between his teeth. Her knees went weak. Just as she wondered if he could feel her nipples pressing against his torso, he murmured at her ear,
"If this is how you react to a kiss along your neck, I wonder what will happen when I set my mouth to those pretty nipples."
She gasped, as much from his words as from the burst of lust they caused. She couldn't think. How did one answer a statement like that? Her mind cried, "With a kiss." He read her thoughts, kissing across her cheek, the corner of her lips, then fully on her mouth. When she parted her lips in surprise, still so unused to all this, he took the opportunity to flick his tongue between them. Her hands flew to his shoulders, squeezing with delight. Those muscles moved sinuously beneath her fingertips, giving her a preview of what she'd see if he removed his shirt. With his palm tenderly cradling the entire back of her head, he eased his tongue into her mouth, carnally sweeping it against hers. When she moaned, he did it again. And again. He was teasing her to distraction. But then he drew back, gazing down at her with a look of longing.
Why'd you stop?
If her sex drive had been ramping up for weeks, now it was suddenly exploding. Why wasn't he making more moves? Shouldn't he be trying to feel her boobs or something? Girls in the locker room often described guys with octopus hands. She wanted McCreeve touching her in 8 places at once. He'd told her he'd ease her ache. She preferred he do it this century. How to initiate this? She struggled for something to say.
I need to lick you.
No.
My hand would be happier in your pants.
No.
Maybe he hesitated because he was still afraid of hurting her.
I'm, tougher than I look.
He swallowed audibly.
Ah, my lass, that's good to know.
My lass, in that brogue. Stifled shudder, near orgasm. She almost wished she'd been with other guys when she'd had the chance, so she'd know what to do in this situation. There were soccer team fan clubs, guy boosters who made the girls gifts and held parties for them. There'd been some cute ones, too.
I've never done anything like this before.
He smiled that bone-melting smile, wolfish and pleased.
My Chloe's a virgin?
Her cheeks felt like they were on fire.
Yes, which means I don't really know the rules of this game.
He grazed the backs of his fingers over her blushing face.
The only rule you need to know is that nothing is out of bounds between us. Nothing.
Then why are you hesitating?
I'm savoring. I've been waiting my whole life.
She buried her face against his neck, gave his skin a lick. He bit out,
"Very well, I've savored enough."
He grabbed the hem of his shirt, yanking it up and over his head to bare a glorious sight. Wide shoulders, rock-hard pecs, a drool-worthy 8-pack, damp, tanned skin, an ink-black goodie trail disappearing into his jeans, his bulging jeans, She could see the outline of his thick erection stretching to his right hip. There'd been pin-ups in the locker room. This guy made those physique models look like wannabes.